Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear friends, what if the world was turned upside down? By that I mean this, that what we how we expected things to go and how things always work were turned on their head, and they went in the exact opposite way than what we'd expect. Kind of unsettling, maybe a little bit unpredictable. That doesn't sound maybe so good to us this morning, but maybe it would be fabulous. Dear friends, maybe you grew up watching this movie. It's very famous, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. But boy, did Charlie see an upside-down world when he went into Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. There in the elevator with Willy Wonka, Charlie, the doors opened up and he saw a world upside down. There were pavers, not made out of concrete, but the streets in Willy Wonka's factory were made out of chocolate bars. Don't see that every day. Kind of exciting. There are, the grass is made out of chocolate as well. There are vibrant colors throughout Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. And gobstoppers, they don't last for 1 minute or 15 minutes, but in Willy Wonka's upside down world, they last forever with all sorts of varieties and flavors to enjoy. Dear friends, this morning we're kind of in an elevator and the doors are opening up. And we're being shown an upside-down world, but we're not with Willy Wonka and Charlie and Grandpa. We're with Jesus. Jesus shows an upside-down world in Matthew chapter 5, and the teaching, in Jesus' very first sermon ever, in the teaching of the Beatitudes. I have a feeling that when Jesus first taught that taught this and showed and opened the elevator to the people that were listening, there probably weren't too many takers because the world sounded so wild. Think about some of the things that Jesus describes here. It's on the front of your bulletin this morning. Jesus says that the people walking around in his upside down world, they're the poor in spirit. Jesus says that those who are meek, that we usually ignore, they're special and they inherit things in his upside down world. Jesus says the peacemakers, they are the ones who rule the world. Jesus says those who are mourning receive comfort, and those that are persecuted receive great comfort as well. When Jesus opened up and showed this world, I have to think that a lot of people didn't jump right in because during Jesus' time, many people taught and saw the world in the exact opposite way. You see, people thought that the strong and powerful were the ones who got special positions and would be blessed by God. If ever someone was weak and not feeling so good, maybe downtrodden, the teaching during Jesus' day was this: buck up and try extra hard, and then God will bless you and make your life just a little bit better. Remember Job's friends? That's exactly what they tell Job. Job, you're weak and you're pathetic. Step up and strengthen yourself. Then God will bless you. Don't be weak anymore, Job. That was the teaching during Jesus' day. Those who were into war and gathering more land and property, they prospered and they did better. When Jesus presented this worldview, not many takers probably stepped up. Well, let's be honest here this morning. As Jesus presents this upside-down world to us this morning, there may not be too many takers here among us because it looks so strange, so out of place. You'd think that 2,000 years ago when Jesus died and he became very weak on the cross, then he was raised in power and might, you'd think that people would say, gosh, the world that he provided, this upside down world, it could be a reality. There may be something behind this. Not so much. 2,000 years have passed. And who gets the headlines in the newspapers? Oftentimes it's the people that trample on others so that they can get a better position. Oftentimes, the heroes that we talk about are sports figures that have cheated the system. We hear about it all the time, and somehow they get the records and the recognition. And what we read about in the paper so often is those people that gobble up more land and property and who bring war onto this earth. There's not justice, but what it looks like is they get more land and property and they get to grab things. You know, this is a nice reading here, Matthew chapter 5, very sentimental, but if we're real, the world that we live in has really adopted Charles Darwin's theory, survival of the fittest. The strong survive, not the weak. You know, I think there's another reason why we're a little tentative with Jesus' teachings here, and this upside-down world and these virtues that he tells. It's because, let's be honest with ourselves, we don't have good habits. Good habits don't come natural to us. They don't flow automatically. It's not as if we read it and we snap our fingers and it just happens. Maybe wives know this. You can't just tell your husband do something and he automatically does it. Do you know what comes naturally to us? Bad habits. Let me explain this. I had golf lessons many years ago. And I know more mulligans than I do birdies in my life. And I had a golf instructor. I put the ball down right in front of me, and I took my golf club, and I swung. Boy, it felt smooth and natural and awesome. Golfers will know how this works. The problem was the ball would go off to the right 40 or 50 yards every single swing. It felt natural and smooth. And the golf instructor said to me, "Jeremy, you have a lot of bad habits. You swing the club like you do a baseball bat," which is true. And so he moved my elbow in. He moved the ball back in my stance. It felt horrible. It didn't feel natural at all. And he said, "Go ahead and swing away." And you know, when I swung, the ball went straight. But it didn't feel good. It felt awkward, and my position and stance was not the way that I was used to, and now I've reverted back to swinging the golf club like a baseball bat because it feels natural and powerful and just right. I just explained to you the doctrine of original sin in the Christian church. Good habits don't come naturally. We're bent towards bad habits. Paul puts it this way, far more eloquent than I could ever. Paul says, "The good that I want to do and that I desire to do, I'm not able to carry it out." It's found in Romans. So this upside-down world, it's hard for us to do it, and it's hard for us to join in. But one thing that I want to share with you to comfort every single one of you this morning is in this upside-down world, Jesus gives us the power to live in that upside-down world. Jesus never tells us to do something. He's the only one in the history of this earth. He never tells us to do something without also supplying the power and strength to do it. In his first sermon, Jesus teaches the Beatitudes, but it's important for us to realize how his sermon ends. Jesus gives the power and strength in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says this. We know this passage really well at Peace. Jesus says, "Whoever hears and does my words is like a man who builds his house on a what? On the rock. And whoever hears my words but does not do them is like a man who builds them on the sand. The building is the same, the manufacturing, the structure, the design. The difference is the location of where those two homes are built. One is on the rock. One is built on the foundation of Jesus in an upside-down world. It's very difficult to do those good habits. The other is built in this world. This world, my friends, is dead. It's dying. It's not going anywhere. The war makers, those that want to cause problems, those who are boastful, will be brought down low." On the rock, Jesus allows us to do these habits that are hard to do and don't come natural to us. The more we're in a relationship with Jesus, the more we'll be peacemakers. The more we'll be meek. The more we'll be humble. And good habits can become natural. A couple months ago, you may have watched the movie Captain Sully. I think I've talked about it here at Peace before. But Captain Sully was the captain that guided the plane into the Hudson River and guided it just amazingly. In that moment when Sullenberger brought that plane in, he had to make a whole bunch of split-second decisions to save hundreds of lives. He had to figure out that the engines had failed. He had to measure his altitude and level off the wings. He had to make a split-second decision. Do I turn around to LaGuardia Airport or do I land in the Hudson? He had to clear the cockpit and prepare it for or make sure that it was ready for a water landing. He landed that plane, and then not just that, but he had to be the last one off the plane before everyone got off. And everyone in the whole country thought, my goodness, what an amazing thing that he did. And you know what Captain Sully said when they said, boy, you did an amazing thing? He said, you know, I was just doing my job. It came natural to me. That's the way it is with Christians and the Beatitudes. When we are connected to the rock and Jesus, the upside-down world that he describes comes naturally, and we become healthy and the people that God meant us to be. Jesus could have snapped his finger and brought in this world 2,000 years ago. This is the most amazing thing, perhaps. He could have just said, boom, I want my upside-down world right now. Jesus didn't do that. He wanted to bring his upside-down world through you, the little things that you do. You are his tools and instruments in this world. So as you go about and practice the Beatitudes, absolutely be meek and humble, poor in spirit, but know that the only way to do that is not by snapping the finger. It's by jumping into the upside-down world and recognizing the rock that gives us the foundation to do so. Jesus gives us that strength. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we confess we live in a crazy world. The powerful get more power. Those that cheat prosper. Lord, we need a different world. We need your upside down world. Lord, work in us. Be that source of power and strength so that we can bring meekness, peacemaking, and that we can bring our sense of being poor in spirit into this world to make it the way it was meant to be, healthy and pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue with the singing of our sermon hymn, For All the Saints.